When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey YA is sponsored by the Book Riot Insiders. Are you struggling to keep up with the latest releases? Want to keep an eye on what's coming out in the next few months for work or for your own personal pre-ordering needs? If you need help turbocharging your TBR, then the Book Riot Insiders is here for you. Our new release index, available at the novel level for just $5 a month, is curated by resident VelociReader Liberty Hardy from the All the Books podcast. She keeps track of the most exciting books pre-publication so that you can browse them, know when your favorite author's next novel hits stores, or you can find your next favorite reads. Go to insiders.bookriot.com to sign up. Welcome to Hey YA, from great new books to favorite classic reads, from news stories to the latest in on-screen adaptations, Hey YA is here to elevate the exciting world of young adult lit. Hey YA is a Book Riot podcast hosted by me, Kelly Jensen, alongside Eric Smith. We're recording on Friday, March 15th, 2019, known as the Ides of March. And hey, Eric, did you know we are name dropped in Forbes?
We were. Get out of here.
We were. I know. Believe it or not, we were. That all said, let's kick it off. Let's get this Friday podcast talk going. How are you doing? What have you been reading?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little tired. Baby and work have been taking up a lot of time lately. So I've been trying to dig into things like in between work and baby. I got sent an early copy of Hungry Hearts, which is a new anthology edited by Elise Chapman and Caroline Tung Richman. So it has 13 YA authors writing about characters and their various experiences surrounding food. And all the stories connect in really clever ways, which I really love when anthologies are able to do that. It's probably not a book to read when you're hungry and say a small toddler is stopping you from eating anything and keeping you trapped on the couch, but I love it quite a bit. And I feel like there's a lot of great anthologies hitting the next few months that are worth getting hyped up about. I had a writing day with Catherine Locke not too long ago, and their upcoming collection with Laura Silverman. It's called The Whole Spiel, and it's really on the top of my like most anticipated list. I wanted to steal the arc when I saw it sitting on the coffee table. It's this collection of YA short stories in a book with Jewish protagonists, and David Levithan, Alex London, Dahlia Adler. So many stars are in it. And I think this is like my year for reading anthologies. He typed in the show notes while his toddler runs across the living room with a set of jingle bells. yeah, so like easy to digest short pieces are working really well for me, and Hungry Hearts is really great. I'm a big fan of it so far. What else? Oh, and I started reading this one book pretty much immediately as soon as it showed up, but I haven't gotten terribly far yet. It's Misa Segura's This Time Will Be Different. I really loved Not Like It's a Secret, and this book digs into the story of a family who decides to sell their family flower shop to a family who swindled their family when Japanese Americans were sent to internment camps during World War II. It's not out until June, which is when I'll probably actually be able to finish it, but I'm already really into it. I'm excited. Yeah, her first book was great. Psyched to read the second book. What about you? What's your list looking like?
I really want to read Hungry Hearts too. I didn't realize this until I guess last year. I don't know why it took me so long to realize this, but I really love food books, like especially like food memoirs and stories that center around food in some capacity. So this anthology is definitely on my radar as well. I've been actually reading a lot of adult book since our last podcast. I started doing a monthly hosting. Let me rephrase that so that it's like logical. I've started co-hosting All the Books with Liberty, who I mentioned in the pre-roll, once a month, which means I'm reading a lot more non-YA stuff, which is something I like doing anyway. But It also means that sometimes when we come to record, I'm like, oh, I've read like one YA book in the last couple of weeks, which for me is pretty slow. But I blew through The Weight of Our Sky by Hannah A. Alkaff. I read that last weekend, and it's a book set in Kuala Lumpur during the uprising of May 13th, 1969, when Malay and Chinese residents were in conflict with one another following an election. And it's a book about a historic moment that I knew nothing about, but is a huge, huge historical deal. And I was really fascinated with how this was written into a YA book. Totally different, but the thing that really captivated me throughout this was that the main character, Melody, struggles with OCD, and the way that the OCD is depicted in this book is so, so good. And it looks, too, at sort of Muslim beliefs at the time about how mental illness works, and it's a short little book. I want to say it was like 250 pages, but it sure packed a lot. And then I also read through Samantha Schultz's I Don't Want to Be Crazy, which came out in 2006, but it's being re-released this month, I think the 26th of this month, maybe. It's Schultz's memoir about having an anxiety disorder, which began her senior year of high school and followed her throughout college. And I thought it was kind of fun to read a book set prior to 2006. Because there were all kinds of references to, like, CDs and music and, like, all these cultural moments that are definitely dated now. But, you know, it's her memoir, so, like, it doesn't feel like it's nostalgia. But there were a couple of things in there that I wish had been changed. Like, some of the language in there is definitely dated. But as a whole, it's a book that I think will really, really resonate with anyone who likes reading about mental health or has had a mental illness experience themselves. And then I'm going to really quick talk about one of the adult books I read was David Cullen's Parkland, which like doesn't seem like one that would be worth talking about on a YA podcast, but it is because I don't know if you've read Columbine, which was his first book.
Yes.
Really, really difficult book, but really, really well done. So this one, when Cullen got the call to speak about this tragedy, he was like, I can't write about this anymore. Like, I have become the unwilling expert on school shootings. And so what he wanted to do instead was write a book about the survivors and the kids behind the March for Our Lives. So this book follows those teenagers instead of the shooter, anything that happened. Like, that's only mentioned to sort of give context. Otherwise, it's all focused on how these teenagers really started this massive movement. And it does so in a way that the mainstream media has totally not highlighted. It's particularly moved in there. They talk about how the March for Our Lives kids realized how much criticism they were getting for really focusing on school shootings, which are typically a white privileged kid problem. Not always, but that's what the media latches onto. And they decided that they needed to learn more about what it's like to deal with regular gun violence when you live in a city that's struggling with gun violence. So they teamed up with a couple of groups in Chicago to learn about that and worked with them. But that's stuff that we never saw in the mainstream media. And Cullen really sort of gives that full picture. And just was a really, really smart and powerful book that I think any person who cares about teenagers should pick up and read. It's one that is going to give you more hope than it's going to give you like anxiety or fear. So yeah, that's where I've been in terms of reading a little bit everywhere, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, no, that's a good list.
Yeah. And, I'm going to Chicago tonight to see Laurie Hall Sanderson. She's in town for Shout. So I'm like, I'm super excited to not only hear her because she's an excellent, excellent speaker, but that's like almost 4 hours I have by myself on the train today to read. Ooh. Which I'm super looking forward to.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So let's hit our first sponsor and then dive into our show, which has a lot of interesting themes that are carried throughout, I guess, is the best way to describe it, right? So our first sponsor is The Iliad, by Gareth Hines. More than 3,000 years ago, two armies faced each other in an epic battle that rewrote history and came to be known as the Trojan War. The Iliad, Homer's legendary account of this 9-year ordeal, is considered the greatest war story of all time and one of the most important works of Western literature. In this stunning graphic novel adaptation, a thoroughly researched and artfully rendered masterwork, renowned illustrator Gareth Hines captures all the grim glory of Homer's epic. Dynamic illustrations take readers directly to the plains of Troy, into the battle itself, and lay bare the complex emotions of men, women, and gods whose struggles fueled the war and determined its outcome. It's a companion novel to Gareth Hines' The Odyssey. It contains maps, a cast of characters, and an author's note, and the book has received 2 advanced praise blurbs from well-known authors. The first one's from Jean Lin Yang, who says, "This is no mere comics adaptation of an ancient classic. Through his intricately illustrated panels, Gareth Hines brings us the Iliad's deep, brutal, and powerful story, a Herculean effort worthy of the original." And the next blurb is from George O'Connell, who's an author of the New York Times best-selling Olympian series, who says that Gareth Hines has created a work of such scope and power that it boggles my mind. It truly lives up to the, dare I say, epic scale of the original poem. And that is The Iliad by Gareth Hines. And I'm so glad this is our title sponsor, because the topic we're talking about today is adaptations and retellings in YA.
Oh, so how serendipitous. I love it.
Right. I don't know if you saw this. This came out this week, but Gareth Hines is doing the graphic novel adaptation of Graceling.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to see, he's done some YA work already, but we're going to see more and more, which should be putting his name on the radar of more YA people, I think.
YA adaptation of Graceling. All right. I'm into that.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you want to start? Do you want to talk about, like, well, I guess we should back up. We've talked like around this topic a lot in our podcast, and then we said we would talk about it at some point, and then finally a commenter said, when are you guys going to talk about this? So now we're doing it. Like, we've been called out.
We have. And I love my adaptation stories. It's such a fun way to explore an old story, give it new life, to take like a trope we see again and again and again and make it new. Maybe it's putting a fairy tale in space. Maybe it's giving us the other side of a character that's been, given a bad rep. In a book. And I'm excited to talk about a couple of them.
Yeah, me too. Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, well, one I want to talk about, we've brought up a couple of times, gushing about her world-building practices. So I just want to make sure everybody checks out C.J. Redwine's best-selling Ravenspire series. There are 4 books in it so far, and I'm positive she's going to be writing more. Like, there's just so much to explore, and they're doing so well. There's the Shadow Queen, the Wish Granter, the Traitor Prince, and the Blood Spell. They're all standalone books in the same retelling universe, I guess. Is a retelling universe a thing? Retelling Snow White, Rumpelstiltskin, the False Prince, and Cinderella. Although, the Traitor Prince, it, like, retells the False Prince, but there's also, like, bits of, like, the Prince and the Pauper in there too. There's a little lots of things blended in there. I won't dig into them all individually because they're all just a delight and you can really start anywhere. Though if you read them in order, there are like Easter eggs, like sort of scattered about here and there that'll remind you of the earlier books. And that is the Ravenspire series by C.J. Redwine.
I haven't read any of those and I really need to.
Oh yeah, Shadow Queen. I don't know, maybe as a wish granter, but yeah, maybe start with Shadow Queen. Shadow Queen's really good.
My first one is an oldie but a goodie. It's Anna Sheehan's A Long, Long Sleep. It is Sleeping Beauty sci-fi style. And it follows a girl named Rosalinda who's been asleep for about 60 years and she's awakened by a kiss. But when she was put into this stasis where she was asleep, she was only meant to stay there for a little while. But then she was lost somehow and forgotten in the interim. happens, you know. So when she's awakened, the world is completely different, and she finds herself suddenly without her family, without her friends, without anybody that she recognizes because of the dark times that have happened. And so when she emerges, she learns that she is the long-lost heir to this new interplanetary empire. But of course, she's like, well, what do I do? I don't know anybody here. Like, this is all new to me. And so she really struggles with how she goes on. And then, of course, what happens if she happens to fall in love with the boy whose kiss is what made her wake up? It's a clever retelling and one that I totally fell in love with when I read. And that is A Long, Long Sleep by Anna Sheehan.
Right. Yeah, I have not read that one. Let's see. My next one is Hunted by Megan Spooner. This one springs to mind because the week the show drops, the latest novel from Megan Spooner will drop as well. And I'll more on that in a second. So Hunted is a reimagining of Beauty and the Beast. And in it, Beauty is this huntress, daughter of a famed hunter. And when he goes missing in the woods, where the creature he's been obsessed with his entire life is, she'll have to go in there and save him, hunt the beast. Lots of things are happening. There's a hidden castle. You know, it starts to pull into the Beauty and the Beast story eventually. But she is out to get him. And it pulls from Russian folklore and fairy tales and makes for a pretty riveting read. I really like Megan Spooner's books. They are huge. And I'm really excited about her next one called Sherwood, but I'm not sure when I'm actually going to get to read it. I'm not Sherwood when I'm going to. So it's a retelling of Robin Hood, in which Robin Hood dies, and a young maid, Marian, decides to take over and become the new Robin Hood. In the story, her and Robin grow up together, so the loss is all the more devastating, and I'm really excited for this one. It'll take me a while to get to it, though. Oh, and if you want more Robin Hood retellings, check out The Forest Queen by Betsy Cornwell that came out last year, I think. It has that really lovely green cover. It's another Robin Hood retelling that is quite excellent.
I'm like, where do I want to go now? You know what's interesting? I feel like there are a lot of Beauty and the Beast retellings in YA.
It's so funny you say that, because when I was like doing a little research for the episode, I was, you know, typing in like YA retellings in the Goodreads, and there's like a page that's just Beauty and the Beast retellings on Goodreads, and there's like 50 of them. There's so many.
I wonder what makes that so appealing for YA authors to dig into. I guess it has a lot of the common elements that we see in YA, and that there's, you know, a young protagonist, she meets this scary beast, and, you know, also loves books.
Like, yeah. You know, there's the enemies to friends to falling in love sort of thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Something to chew on, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I won't, well, we're going to talk about a Jane Austen retelling, but it's funny because there are so many Jane Austen retellings in YA, but like you and I don't, I think there's only one in our list that is going to be mentioned. It's interesting to me, like what does and doesn't find its way into sort of that retelling sphere. Mm. And I went off on this tirade because my next one is one that's really a unique take on an adaptation. So preface, I haven't read this book yet, but I want to. And it's I, Claudia by Mary McCoy. It was a Prince honoree this year, so I definitely want to read it. Mm-hmm. It's a riff on Claudius. Like, what? You know? And fun fact for listeners who might not know this, I'm a nerd for Roman antiquity and history. So this one is like up my alley and I can't wait to read it. I'm just going to read the description, which I know nobody likes that, but I haven't read it. So I can't do better than this. And it's nice and short. Disaffected amateur historian Claudia McCarthy has never expected to be in charge of Imperial Day Academy, but by accident designer scheme, she is pulled into the tumultuous and high-profile world of the Senate and Honor Council. Suddenly, Claudia is wielding power over her fellow students that she never expected to have and isn't sure she wants. Claudia vows to use her power to help the school, but there are forces aligned against her. Shocking scandals, tyrants waiting in the wings, and political dilemmas with no easy answer. As Claudia struggles to be a force for good in the universe, she wrestles with the question, does power inevitably corrupt? And that is I, Claudia, by Mary McCoy.
That sounds super good. So I feel like we go to book jail if we talk about retellings and don't talk about Cinder by Marissa Meyer. Especially because I love these books so much, but everyone's read them, right? I think everybody listening has read them. And if you haven't listened, if you haven't read these books and you're the one listener that hasn't, so the Lunar Chronicles pull from a whole number of fairy tales. And you could probably tell by the title in the first one that Cinderella is the first one. In these books, we meet Cinder, who is a cyborg mechanic in a world where a plague is ravaging mankind and where a robot could potentially fall for a prince. I love these books. They're so cute. They're so fun. They're hilarious as much as they are imaginative. And while I wildly enjoy them, I still haven't read the last book, the final one, Winter, because it's 800 pages. I don't know if you've seen that on the bookshelf, Kelly, but like,
I have, yeah.
Like maybe when my son is off to college, I will figure out what happened at the end.
I have only read the first one.
I loved it.
I did too. Oh, yeah. I totally loved it. I don't know why I haven't read the others. I think because this does that series thing that I like where you don't have to read them back to back to back. So it's like I read the one and then didn't feel like I needed to immediately read the next one. You know, so I guess that's one of the loopholes in my need to read the series like back to back. Is if they're not connected and I can read them one at a time. Sometimes I don't go back and read the next ones, even though I like them.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're the one listener who hasn't read them, you should.
Oh, and speaking of Cinderella retellings, everyone should read Ash by Melinda Lowe. The anniversary edition comes out in like 2 months.
Yeah. Can you believe it's been out for 10 years?
I know. That's,
suddenly I felt old when I heard that.
I did.
I'm like, man, I read that when it first came out, you know, and I wasn't a teenager then either. My next one is Blanca and Roja. I was going to say it in Spanish, and then I was like, okay, I've got it written in Spanish. I'm going to say it that way, and then I didn't even say it right at all. So we're going to try this again. It's Blanca y Roja by Anna Marie McLemore. It's a retelling that does a little bit of mashing up of both Snow White and Rose Red with Swan Lake. It's a unique twist on two familiar fairy tales, infused with the lush magical realism that we've all come to know McLemore for. It's a book about sisterly love, about the lengths that sisters go to show their love for one another, and it's about relationships which might come between them, but when the girls return to each other, it might not be in the same form that they anticipate that reuniting to come through. It's got two Latina main characters, and it digs into gender and into race, about what it is and isn't to be passing and acceptable. And there's a fantastic thread through here about menstrual challenges that hasn't been brought up in a lot of the reviews I've seen, but really, really well done. And if you haven't looked at this book's cover closely, you should. It's really, really gorgeous, and it's super clever. And it took me a while to realize, spoiler alert, that it's two intertwined swans and not just one. Every time I looked at it, I just saw the one swan, and I was like, oh, that's cool. But when you look at it, you're like, oh, it's intertwined swans, like the sisters, like the, you know, themes that go on throughout it. But anyway, that's Blanca and Roja by Anna Marie McLemore.
I have, oh, right. I'm going to have to look at my book on the bookshelf later. let's see. My next one is Forest of a Thousand Lanterns by Julie C. Dow. It's an East Asian fantasy reimagining of the Evil Queen legend. I haven't gotten around to reading the second book in the duology just yet, but it's very high on my to-be-read queue. So it is a finished series, Kelly, in case you haven't read dove into this one yet. So it's about a teen girl who's destined to become the next empress of her kingdom, but in order to do so, she has to embrace all the evil things that come with it. So yes, she is an anti-hero, and I love a good anti-hero in a YA fantasy novel. This book is super fun, and I highly recommend checking it out. Maybe the Evil Queen wasn't as bad as we all thought. And that's in A Forest of a Thousand Lanterns by Julie C. Dow.
I'm a big fan of the anti-hero and Evil Queens.
Yes.
So much. Did you see we're getting a sequel to Maleficent later this year?
I can't wait.
Me either. Sort of related. This is another one I haven't read because it's not out yet, but it's coming out soon. And it is Stepsister by Jennifer Donnelly. I got to look at a sample of this one at the end of last year when the editor and I were at an event together. And so it's a take on Cinderella from the stepsister's point of view. And it's not like one of those light retellings. This goes dark. Like, this is from the original version of Cinderella. And it's a feminist retelling and revisioning. And while love is at the center of the story, there's a lot else going on too. Donnelly has written so many YA books, and she's written some romances too, I believe. She's well known, well regarded, so I trust that this one is going to be really good. It's out in May, and I'll be waiting for it to show up. And that is Stepsister by Jennifer Donnelly.
Okay. I haven't heard of that one yet. Let me see. Oh, I should bring up E.G. Howard's Splintered. It's a really unique take on Alice in Wonderland, where we meet the ancestor of the real inspiration for Lewis Carroll's Alice, Alice Liddell. As a result, her family is cursed. And there's a whole bundle of books in this series. The last one came out back in 2015, so maybe sit down and read them all. And speaking of Alice, I'll bring up one more book that I probably mentioned way too much, and that is A Blade So Black by L.L. McKinney. It is so great.
I'm going to bring up one that you didn't bring up earlier, that I was surprised you didn't bring up earlier when we were talking about anthologies, but I'm going to go for it. One I'm looking forward to out in September is His Hideous Heart, edited by Dahlia Adler. It's an anthology, not out yet, but it's a collection of retellings of Poe's classic stories, and the lineup of authors in this is incredible. Some of them are Steph Keen, Kendari Blake, Lamar Giles, Amanda Lovelace, and so many more. And Stephanie Keen is doing a reworking of The Telltale Heart. Like, I can't wrap my head around how great that's going to be.
Oh, yes.
Right? So even just based on that, like, this is a book that is, like, in my wheelhouse, hits all my buttons. Like, it's horror, it's Edgar Allan Poe, it's, you know, retellings of these stories. So I'll be sitting here waiting for this one. And that is His Hideous Heart, edited by Dahlia Adler.
All right. I think I'll just list a couple that I know I talk about way too much on here. That happen to be fairy tale retellings. I don't want to. Well, no, they're not really fairy. Whatever. They're retellings. And that's Heart of Iron by Ashley Poston, which is Anastasia in space. The Wrath of the Dawn by Renee Adi, which is inspired by 1001 Nights. If you haven't checked it out, Dorothy Must Die by Danielle Page, which is, you know, Wizard of Oz, in a kind of dystopia Oz, are all really fun.
One I was going to mention, this is another one out this month that I haven't read. I was doing a piece for Book Riot, putting together some upcoming books, and ran across this one and just wanted to shout it out. A Sky Without Stars. It's by Jessica Brody and Joanne Rendell, out on the 26th. It's a science fiction retelling of Les Miserables, which sounds incredible. It's been years and years and years since I've read Les Miserables, but I loved it when I did, and I can only imagine how cool it would be to see that story in space. I feel like if you add in space to anything, like, you automatically just, like, grab my attention, one, and two, like, you take it to a place that I know is going to be awesome.
Nice. Now, who are some authors you would want to write retellings, though? I feel like that's maybe a fun question. Like, I was looking around my bookshelf and I was like, oh man, I bet Emily XR Pan would write something beautiful and lush that would just, like, destroy us. Like, she could rewrite Goldilocks and make it a 500-page novel of, like, heartbreak, you know? Like, I could see it happening. Or, like, a funny YA retelling, you know? Like, we don't really see many of those. Most of them are, you know, kind of sad or dark. Like, can you imagine, like, Amy Spaulding, like, doing a YA fairy tale, like, it would be perfect.
I'm going to talk about a funny retelling in the next segment, so I'll hold on to that little piece there. But something I've always wanted in YA is a series, like a whole series of adaptations of familiar fairy tales populated by characters of color written by an author of color. And this is something... We're getting something like that for middle grade from Cyndia Menon. I just saw the release from that a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. Why can't it be YA, though? So close, so close. I'm sure it's going to be great. But that's really what I want. And I don't know if I have a specific author in mind, but I wonder if that's the sort of series that would do really well if a bunch of authors of color each wrote one. So we get like this whole nice collection of retellings by some of the leading voices and some of the new and emerging voices in YA. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome. So do we jump into our next sponsor here?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So our next sponsor is Chicken Girl by Heather Smith. This episode is brought to you by Chicken Girl, a brand new gut punch of a novel by Heather Smith. After being fat shamed online, Poppy trades in her beloved vintage clothes for a feathered chicken costume and accepts a job as an anonymous sign waver outside a restaurant. But she can't hide forever. There are other people that need her in her life, like Cam, her twin brother, who is adjusting to life as an openly gay teen, and Lewis, who is struggling to reach the final stages of his gender transition. Featuring an unforgettable cast of characters, Chicken Girl is perfect for fans of David Arnold and Jeff Zentner. Available now. Oh my god, this sounds like reading like Hot Dog Girl. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just give me all the books of like teenagers in costumes dealing with like real world complicated, like, yes, I want to read them. What's the next one? Pizza Boy. I want to read that one. The boy dressed up like a slice of pizza. Like, yes.
What about the kid who has to dress up like a mattress to sell mattresses?
Yeah. Yes. I want to read all these. The Statue of Liberty costume for taxes.
Oh, for taxes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Or like the mascot at, a baseball game.
Yeah.
Whatever that dumb mascot is. What about Gritty? Could we bring Gritty into this?
I would absolutely read a Gritty YA novel.
Oh man. All right, let's talk about our next topic before we start writing the Gritty YA novel.
Yeah.
Gritty as in the character, not as in gritty, but maybe it could be both. Gritty the Gritty novel.
Oh, I'm all about it.
Yeah, I am too. I am too.
By Megan Abbott would write that. That'd be it.
Oh man, yeah. Oh man. All right. Let's talk about our spring TBRs. Like, what are you itching to read this spring?
Oh man.
Why don't you start?
Yeah, I have a nice little stack piled up on my computer of things to read when baby goes to bed. First up is Ordinary Girls by Blair Thornburg. So this one just got a star from Kirkus and comes out in June. And I've got an arc waiting for me, so it's definitely a spring read. It's about two sisters who are wildly different and is a retelling. We can't get away from them. So it's inspired by Sense and Sensibility with two sisters who clash as they're learning to navigate their lives around one another as their family falls on very hard financial times. Yeah, it looks like a sunny YA contemporary that deals with sisterly drama. And I really love Blair's first book, Who's That Girl? So I'm excited to see what she has written next. And that is Ordinary Girls by Blair Thornburg.
I'm gonna keep this theme going. My first pick is The Boy Next Door, which is part of the Bookish Boyfriends series by Tiffany Schmidt.
Oh, okay.
This is the second book in a super lighthearted and totally appropriate for young YA readers series. The premise in this one, or I guess the premise overall, is that the boys beloved by the girls in books, so the boys that they find to be super appealing in books, suddenly come to life and are a little bit different in real life than they are between the pages of a book. So this one, the second volume, is a riff on Little Women, and it's told from the perspective of the sister from her first book, Bookish Boyfriends, and it's about all I can really say about it. I've had an arc sitting here for months, but this is just a fun, light series, and so I'm excited to dig in, and that is The Boy Next Door by Tiffany Schmidt.
My next one is Forward Me Back to You by Mitali Perkins. This one comes out in April. And I'm just going to read the blip from the book because I haven't gotten to dig into this yet. Katrina King is the reigning teen jiu-jitsu champion of Northern California, but she's having trouble fighting off the secrets of her past. Robin Thornton was adopted from an orphanage in Kolkata, India, and is reluctant to take on his future. Since he knows nothing about his past, how are you supposed to figure out what comes next? Robin and Kat meet in the most unlikely of places, a summer service trip to India to work with survivors of human trafficking. As bonds blossom between the travel mates, Robin and Kat discover the healing superpowers of friendship. I can't wait to read this. I love everything Perkins writes. And that is Forward Me Back to You by Mitali Perkins. Comes out in April.
Sounds so good. My next one is With the Fire on High by Elizabeth Acevedo. I loved The Poet X, like the rest of the correct world last year. And so I'm really dying for her follow-up. This one is about a teen girl who got pregnant her freshman year of high school. And now, as she's entering her senior year, is forced to take care of both her child and her abuela. And so she has to figure out what it is she wants to do next in her life. She loves to cook, but doesn't have the time to take classes for it. But when she begins cooking, she realizes that she just can't stop, that there's a real passion here for it. I'm obsessed with these, what I like to call, what do I do with my life books? So, you know, teenagers that like senior year of high school, Brandy Colbert's Finding Yvonne is one that does this too. And also weirdly about a teen who found a love for cooking. And so I suspect that Acevedo's sophomore novel is one that's going to be totally satisfying and totally up my alley. And that is With the Fire on High by Elizabeth Acevedo.
All right. My next one is Michelle Ruiz Keel's YA fantasy debut that I'm really excited about. It's called All of Us with Wings. I got to read a short story from this author in my agent life because she's in an anthology that I worked on. And I'm going to read the blip from this book as well. 17-year-old Xochi is alone in San Francisco, running from her painful past, the mother who abandoned her, the man who betrayed her. Then one day, she meets Paulus, a precocious 12-year-old who lives with her rockstar family in one of the city's storybook Victorians. She accepts a position as Paula's live-in governess and quickly finds her place in their household, which is relaxed and happy despite the band's larger-than-life fame. But the night of the vernal equinox, as a concert after-party rages in the house below, Xochi and Paulus accidentally summon a pair of ancient creatures devoted to avenging the wrongs of Xochi's adolescence. She would do anything to preserve her new life, but with the creatures determined to exact vengeance on those who've hurt her, no one is safe, not even the family she's chosen or the one she's left behind. I'm so hyped to read this because it's...
That sounds amazing.
Yes, and I love like contemporary books that suddenly you're just reading and boom, here is this fantasy. Like, yes, I can't wait.
Oh, man, that sounds amazing. It has a really beautiful cover, too.
Oh, yeah.
My next pick is We Are the Perfect Girl by Ariel Kaplan, which is also a retelling. This one's a riff on Cyrano de Bergerac, and it follows two girls who are super different from one another, but who are eager to win the heart of the same boy, and they're using technology to do it. But what begins as a mistake then turns into this series of deceptions where the girls have to keep playing different roles while trying to get his attention. This one came on my radar because I read Kaplan's book last year about college admissions, which surprisingly timely now. But this one has a mental health thread throughout that I'm especially interested in. And I also know that this is one of those retellings that's going to be funny. Because Kaplan has a really good sense of humor in her writing, and so super looking forward to this one. All her reviews have been great so far, and that is We Are the Perfect Girl by Ariel Kaplan.
All right.
Did you have any more?
No, I think that's all. I think that's all I've got for mine. Do you have any others?
Oh, I was just going to throw a couple more out. I won't go in.
Yeah, list them.
Okay. I have a feeling these are going to be on your list too, is you know. What I'm thinking. The first one being Somewhere Only We Know by Maureen Gu.
Oh, definitely.
We're getting a new Maureen Gu, and it's looks like it's going to be just as charming and delightful as her previous books. I've also got Sean David Hutchinson's memoir on my to read, which is called Brave Face, about growing up with depression and being gay. And then finally, There's Something About Sweetie by Cindy Menon, who I brought her up earlier, but this is another rom-com, and apparently spring is when I really like to read rom-coms. I was like looking at my reading logs from previous years, like that's apparently what I'm in the mood for after a long winter of just long winter, you know? So I'm super excited about this one in particular because the main female character is a fat athlete, which is what I was in high school, and literally I've never saw that. So I'm stoked about that. And it's a companion to her first book, When Dimple Met Rishi, and that it follows Rishi's brother, Ashish, as he's looking for the right girl who will please his exacting parents and himself.
All right.
Lots to read this spring.
So much.
So much. So many retellings. I really like that we managed to like bring that thread all the way through this episode. Yes, unintentionally. Yeah, unintentionally. It's almost like we're writers and we figured out a way to do something smart without planning to do something smart. Oh, well, on that note, thanks y'all for tuning in this week. Please leave any feedback you have about the show on Apple Podcasts. That lets us know how we're doing and it helps other people find us. Thanks again to today's sponsors for helping make the show possible. And of course, you can follow me, Kelly Jensen, on Twitter and on Instagram as Veronica Kelly Mars. And you can follow Eric Smith on Twitter and Instagram as Eric Smith Rocks. And we will talk to y'all again in 2 weeks.